Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Emmett County Board of Commissioners meeting for February 16th, 2023. Call this meeting to order. Let's stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Lofton?
Here.
Commissioner Aarons?
Almost here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coons?
Here.
Looking for approval of the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Approval of the minutes of the February 6th meeting.
I move to approve February 6th, 2023 meeting minutes.
Second.
We have an approval, a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. It's time for public comment. We have anybody wishing to speak has 3 minutes. Welcome, Neil.
I'm Dr. Bob Wiley, and I have been asked to give a little comment concerning gain of function. At the next board meeting, I can give you a little more details. But in general, gain of function is a research done to improve the killing ability of a particular virus when done in a bioweapons lab. And of course, that's what was done in Wuhan in China. And it was done mostly with U.S. money and with under the direction either directly or indirectly of Fauci, Dr. Fauci. And it was done there because it was illegal to do that type of activity here in the United States due to a passage of a restriction on gain-of-function activity by the federal government. Because it's so dangerous if you, and just ethically wrong to try to increase a natural occurring virus and improve its killing ability or transferability from person to person and turn into a bioweapon. This week I was asked to give I have another little speech I'm going to give, and I'll do that at the end, at the next part of the public comment. But if there are any questions concerning gain of function now, I can probably give a more detailed with specific examples of what can be done and whether it's ever ethical to do this. And so if there's anybody that has a question, it was one of the members, one of the commissioners that asked me to do this. And if there's further questions, you can ask me, and I'll get the either answer now or get the answer next meeting.
Thank you. Anybody else? One more time. Anybody else? Okay. So we come to the part we're going to have appearances.
Tonight, before you, Jeff Urban will be here to give us an update on what's going on with Veteran Affairs.
Good evening, Commissioners. For those who don't know me, my name is Jeff Urban. I am the Director of the Emmett County Veteran Affairs Office. So I've been asked to come before you tonight to kind of give you an insight and kind of brief overview of what the office does here for the Emmett County veterans. Next slide, please. So the first being disability claim assistance. Sometimes in the line of duty, our servicemen and women get injured. Sometimes it's a small injury. Sometimes it is a bigger life-changing injury. Sometimes it's four times. Sometimes it can be just from the states. It's our job here at the Veteran Affairs Office to actually ensure these injuries, mental and physical, are reported to the Veteran Administration. These reports or claims of disability allow the veterans to actually get compensated for the degree of disability or injury that they get or receive from the military. That process can be pretty strung out, long, confusing, so we actually provide that counseling, that assistance to provide the proper forms. We fill out the forms for the veterans, as well as get the proper evidence to show that the injury was incurred while in service. We're also qualified to present appeals to the Veterans Court and judge if necessary, if any denied disabilities may present itself. Pensions and health care assistance. So with pensions and health care, we can provide help with getting the VA health care system. There are some qualifications to actually get into the VA health care system, unfortunately. So not every veteran is going to be qualified for VA health care. But we can help get them in the system if they qualify. With pensions, there are some pensions that we can also help our elderly veterans and their family members to help provide financial needs for, you know, care, as well as care facilities such as American House or Babe Loves. So we can help with stuff like that. Communications. So I would say we are the number one office in our county or area to actually contact for veteran information, for assistance, and just to make sure everyone's up to date with their benefits. Now, that could be anywhere from any of the new laws, like the PACT Act. I don't know if you guys follow very closely with any VA news, but the PACT Act was just passed. So we have been on a lot of calls about, you know, who qualifies for the PACT Act, burn pits, Camp Lejeune type things. So we've been doing a lot of that lately, but we are up to date with those bylaws and know exactly what's going on federally. Events and gatherings. We do have our own events when we're able to, when we have the funding, when we have the time. We do provide events or coffee hours for our veterans, but we like to go to other organizations' events to kind of promote the office as well as giving out information for those veterans to seek those benefits. Next slide, please. So just to briefly go over some numbers and other information about the office here. So in 2021, which was the last recording of any veterans in our area, we had 2,352 veterans living in the county. In 2022, the office assisted with 378 veterans with some type of VA benefits, being health care, compensation, pensions, anything that I mentioned before. So that was a decent number that year. Emmett County veterans saw $19,924,000 in benefits in 2021, which was one of the largest in northern Michigan, which we're pretty proud of that. We're able to get that much money to our veterans here in the county. Just from 2020, from 2021, that was a $900,000 increase. Our monthly newsletter gets sent out to 262 veterans in our area. So that, again, communication's key moving forward with the office. We want to make sure all the veterans know that they have what they have coming and what new laws are being passed. Our office is currently holding strong at a 92% win rate when claiming benefits for veteran or spouses. So those that don't know, veteran claims for disability can be something like Social Security or SSI. You actually have to try and claim that disability or put in for the request for that disability. So it can be a process to actually win a claim. But we are standing at a 92% win rate, which is pretty good. Last year, we gave $7,846 to veterans in need of financial assistance using our emergency grant. We currently have been awarded a $50,000 grant from the state to help promote and enhance our office. And I just hired a veteran service officer to continue helping and help more to obtain benefits for our veterans. Our current goal, near future, we are looking to extend our office to help team veterans that are in need of transportation to critical VA appointments that would otherwise they wouldn't be able to get to. I know in the past we've had something like this about 3 or 4 years ago. Unfortunately, we had to cancel that because of legal issues, and we haven't had it since. So that's something I would like to bring back to the VA office here. And I know Sheboygan and Charlotte, they have their own transportation shuttles or cars, so I think it's about time for us to get one as well. Next slide, please. So I want to ensure I'm completely transparent with how we're spending that $50,000 grant. The majority of the grant, you can see, is a breakdown, or in the breakdown, is going to marketing through Lamar and McDonald Carver Broadcasting. We feel that if we can inform the veterans and their family members that we're here in the county, they'll be more willing to seek benefits from us. A lot of veterans think they have to visit the VA down in Saginaw or Detroit to actually get benefits, which is not true. We can actually see them here in the county in their own backyard and help them out here instead of going 3 or 4 hours away. We're also looking to provide 2 veteran events or resource fairs this year, bringing all the local organizations together in one place to help veterans and ensure every veteran knows what's out there for them. I currently have 1 planned at the fairgrounds on March 24th from 4 to 8 p.m. As of now, I have currently 14 vendors and organizations attending that fair. Up until last year, the office did not have a way to log into our software or contact veterans without using our own personal cell phones while outside of the office. The grant allows us to pay for an office cell phone and wireless hotspot to access our software when conducting home visits. Office Coffee Hour brings veterans to the office every other week to talk to us and other veterans. It's a great way for the veterans to know the office and other veterans. So again, keeping the community strong, keeping veterans talking, we need to know what's going on in our community with veteran-wise. Next slide. Depending on questions, that's kind of a very brief overview of the office and what we do. But if you guys have any questions, concerns, I am all ears. Yes.
Hi, Jeff. I'm really glad we have these services here in Emmett County for our veterans. Is this something that most counties have, or is it?
Yes, most counties in Michigan does have this. They either have one. Well, I know Traverse has 5 actual veteran service officers. Okay. Some bigger cities downstate have quite a few, but most all counties have a veteran service
it's
officer.
It's not state or federally mandated that the counties have these?
No, it's not. There is a law. If you do have what we call a soldier sailor fund, they do have to have a committee at least to provide that funding or application process to indigenous veterans that need that money. But most counties do have a veteran service officer, at least.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes?
Are there veterans medical services here locally, or is that why they need transportation?
So transportation-wise, so answer the first question, there is a clinic up in Sheboygan or in Mackinac Highway. So there is an actual VA clinic in Mackinac. There's also one in Gaylord and Traverse. They are currently building one in Indian River that the Mackinac one's going to move to. So it is not a long drive, but it can be, for some veterans, a haul. It can be quite an ordeal to actually get to those services. The VA will also, if it is a concern, they can tell them to go to McLaren or have that contracted through McLaren, but usually they want to see them at a VA clinic first.
So that would be the need for the transportation you're referring to?
Correct. Yep, just for, I know veterans in the past, they didn't have family or friends, they were blind, they just needed the transportation to a VA medical facility. Yep.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good job. We're looking for the administrator's report.
Thank you. Good evening. As usual on this night, I give you the update. You can see our list of employees that we have. The good news is that list of open spots is starting to fill up, so we don't have that many openings right now, which is good. Hopefully we're going to keep our folks here. The airport, you have a report there that shows, as Ryan gave us some updates from the airport, on the tax schedules that we've got going on in March 9th, our schedules change back, and you'll see all of our outgoing flights are going to be direct to Detroit now. We'll only have 1 tag flight. That will be a flight midday coming in. It will hit Alpena and then us, and the rest of them are direct flights. So we're extremely pleased with that, and I thank Ryan Batchelor, the airport director, for continuing to work with SkyWest to try to confirm those flights. Parks and Recreation, you'll see that we came before you on applying for a Sparks grant. The state had $50 million set aside for Parks and Recreation type projects. We applied for the first round. There was 21 total grants given, $14 million. Unfortunately, there was $280 million worth of grants applied for that $14 million. So we will apply for round two and round three and continue to push what we have up at the Headlands. We are also applying for the DNR Trust Fund grant for $200,000 to expand some of the camping experience at Camp Petasiga, add some more of the little cabins for the folks that don't have campers that they can come up there and rent one of the smaller cabins. So we'll let you know how that one goes. I did give you an updated photo from the Headlands Observatory, just one of the really cool shots that we're getting from the Headlands. The Building Department, I included in your packet the January update from the Building Department, and as you can see, as Marty has told us time and time and again, those numbers continue to go up. We've had somewhat of a mild winter, and construction has continued throughout the winter. And since Mr. White got off the Northwest Michigan Community Action Agencies, we said we'd have one of our staff members attend, and I gave you a little update on what happened at the last meeting. I also included in there, in the packet, the Parks and Recreation 2023 program schedule and the Crooked River Locks schedule for next spring. And Marty's report's in there. And then I will turn it over to Pam, and she can give you a little update on our financial report.
So included in your packet that was in the board agenda is the December year-to-date actual. There will still be some revenues and expenditures that will continue to come in. I guess the biggest takeaway that I want to present tonight is we budgeted to add $3.4 million to fund balance. Right now we're at $3.8 million. We're going to add a little bit more. So overall, I think we're doing very well with our budget, and things keep seeming to look up. And I think the grants have helped a lot that we've gotten in the last couple of years, too.
So you haven't ordered your tickets for the South yet, eh?
No.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Any questions for Pam? Okay, so claims and committee travel vouchers. Looking for a motion. Pardon me? No. No unfinished business.
I'll make that motion, Chair. I move for the payment of the claims in the amount of $2,274,843.28. And for payment of the committee and travel vouchers, the amount of $8,517.14.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion over this? Hearing no discussion, we have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passed. We come to new business. We're looking at DPW Eagle grant.
Yes, thank you. Just quickly that DPW did apply for a grant for two new recycling bins. Through Eagle, and we're awarded the grant. So before you tonight is the grant for $28,000 that we received. The total purchase is $40,000. We have $12,000 budgeted for matching funds for this.
Thank you.
I'll move that the board approve entering into the attached grant agreement with the Michigan Department of Environmental Great Lakes and Energy Materials Management Division in the amount of $28,000 for the purchase of 2 30-yard recycling bins and authorize the county administrator to sign on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Katowski?
Yes.
Motion passed. So Jaws of Life is next.
Jaws of Life is a program that Emmett County puts on where we offer grant programs for up to $4,500 for any of our local fire departments or entities that use Jaws of Life equipment. So that's for training, that's for purchase of equipment, and it also goes to Pelston Search and Rescue that works directly with our Sheriff's Department. So we included each one of the departments in here and their contracts that they'll have to sign and the requirements that they have to get the money and the reporting requirements that have to come back to us.
Thank you. Looking for the motion.
Chair, I move to approve the attached agreements for the Jaws of Life grant funding for fiscal year 2023 and award $4,500 to each of the following entities: Pelston Fire Department, Carp Lake Fire Department, Mackinac City Fire Department, Littlefield and Lansing Fire Department, Harbor Springs Fire Department, Resort Bear Creek Fire Department, Petoskey Department of Public Safety, and $5,000 to the Emmett County Search and Rescue, and authorized county administrator to sign the agreements on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
That's
$5,500.
Thank you. We have a motion.
I'll support that.
And I support. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner Katowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Motion has passed. So the next item, the virtual server host.
Virtual server is an environment that we have that a lot of our data is stored on. What we're proposing, we have hardware that is now reaching its end of a life. We have 3 virtual servers that need to be replaced. And the good news is that we're going to replace it with 2, and it will, instead of 3, we'll have 2 now, and it also gives us our redundancy in our backup system, which is critical for our infrastructure.
Okay. Looking for the motion.
I move to approve the proposal from Avalon Technologies to provide virtual server hosts and storage in the amount of $38,580 and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Katowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes. Motion passes. So the sheriff is looking for 2 more vehicles.
Yes, the Sheriff Department budgeted for 3 replacement vehicles for this year. I think we came to the last meeting with one of the replacements. They were able to find 2 new Tahoes, which makes up our fleet between the Chargers that we have, the Durangos, and the Chevy Tahoes. So this is replacing 2 vehicles. The money is in the budget, and then 2 vehicles come out of the fleet. As like before, we have the purchase of the vehicle, then we have the upgrades of the equipment that go into it. Hopefully, with switching out Tahoe to Tahoe, most of the equipment transfers over. Sometimes the model makes change a little bit, and the cage might not fit. So we did allocate some money in there, and that's up to, and if we don't need it, we don't spend it.
Okay, good. And these are all through My Deal?
Yes. My Deal is the state purchasing agreement. So all these different vehicles go out to to bid, and then we can piggyback off of their bid process. Thanks for bringing that up.
Good deal.
Are we allowed to hang on to one of those vehicles, say, for the Veterans Department, or is it part of the deal turning the vehicles in?
We do look at time from time. It depends what the needs of the veterans are. These vehicles that we're replacing normally are pretty beat up. They're end of life. I think, if I'm not, I don't want to speak for Jeff, but I think he'll be looking for something potentially with a lift in it.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Yeah. I don't know if these could be converted for that or what.
I would not convert one of these.
Okay. I just know a Tahoe isn't a small vehicle. So.
It's not a small vehicle, but those are harder to retrofit to try to put a ramp in there. It'd be more of a minivan or the new Sprinters, those type of vehicles.
Okay.
Go ahead. I move to approve the purchase of two 2023 Chevrolet Tahoe Patrol units in the amount of $80,624 and up to $18,000 to equip the patrol units with required emergency equipment and authorize the county administrator to sign the necessary documents on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Just a quick question. Are we still looking for a Durango, a third vehicle?
We've got that. We purchased that the last meeting, okay. So we are done. The Sheriff's Department is done with their purchases, yes.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Motion passes. Authorization of the Barclay Planning Group.
The Barclay Planning Group works with our pension system that we currently have, and there are administrative bookkeepers, and they keep us compliant with all federal laws and regulations. It is a service that we've been using to ensure that we are compliant. You can see the number of employees in there. That plan is closed to current employees, so no one's in that. We do have some remaining employees that have been here for long term, but for any new employees, that system is closed. So we only have 7 active members, 6 terminated or vested, and 47 retirees. That makes up the system. And they monitor and make sure everything with that group is compliant.
Thank you. Looking for the motion.
I will, Chair. I move to authorize Barclay Planning Group, LLC, to continue with plan administration services for the County of Emmett defined benefit pension plan and authorize the county administrator to sign the engagement letter on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. Looking at a contract renewal.
Yes, Empiric Solution is our current contractor that's been working with the county. They're kind of our backroom providers. They work on the network and all the improvements on the network. They've done an excellent job over these last few years, really bringing our system up to speed. And the biggest concern we have is the security on our network to make sure that we don't have any issues. You hear of communities being breached and what problems that caused. And they're working to make sure that we don't have those issues. They've worked on their major deployments of our printers, our phone migration. They're working on Office 365 and then our redundant backup system that we'll have off-site.
Thank you. Looking for a motion.
I move to approve the technology management contract with Empiric Solutions Incorporated for the period of March 1, 2023 through February 28, 2024 in an amount not to exceed $124,368 for the 12 months under the contract and authorize the county administrator to sign the contract on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes. How many bids did we get on this program?
Pardon me?
Did you get any other bids?
No, this is the contractor that we're currently working with. I've been working with for the last 3 years. It's based on the hours. There's a percentage in the contract that we get a certain amount of hours or units, and that was bid out. When we bid that out, it was competitive. We didn't bid it out. This is an extension of that current contract.
Yeah, that really concerns me that we're spending $124,000 of taxpayers' money and not getting any competitive bids. I think I'm going to have to vote no on that.
But this was originally competitively bid out, and this just continues to extend that. One breach of our system will cost a lot more than, and what we look at is making sure that this is a safe and secure system.
It's the same bid they had previously.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's a renewal of the
it's
bid.
It's a renewal of the bid, and the only thing that's changed is the number of hours that we're using. And the number of hours continues to increase because the number of projects that we have continues to increase.
How competitive were they?
There's not very many companies that are local and do the service that they have, and I don't remember 3 years ago when it was done. I wasn't here, but it was bid out, and they were the company, and they're the company that most of the counties up here use. CCE uses them as their consultant in the back room, too. So they are the company that's in this area, located here in town. If we have an issue, they're able to mobilize and be here on site. So we've used them. We've had a technical staff in here when we've needed help. They're here, and for all of our solutions, what we've just done, they're here. We've got staff here in the building working for us.
Are there any other companies in northern Michigan, like Traverse City or Gaylord, that would provide the same service?
I think they do Traverse City, if I'm not mistaken. I think these are the contractors for Traverse City. This is the company, I think, in the surrounding area. We're happy to revisit and look at it. We look at the life of contracts normally at 5 years and determine at that point to look at a rebid at that point.
I think I would like to see next year we get at least two bids, preferably three, from competitors.
Do that?
Any other discussion?
So how long is this renewal?
1 year.
1 year.
Yep. We do it from 1 year because, again, during that time, we evaluate what technology and what upgrades we need to do during that period. They have been instrumental in building this system for us, but we're certainly happy to go out to bid, but there is a lot of knowledge that this company brings to us in building our system that we currently have.
That's okay. You've given the information now, so when people ask for more info. I'm sorry. So, okay, that's good. You've given me information now that I can use to, when people ask why we didn't go out to bid, I answer their questions. Thank you.
Here.
Any other questions or discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have appointments in the airport.
Chairman, I move to reappoint Wayne Phillips to the airport committee.
I support that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. We have an appointment for the advisory committee.
Chairman, I move to appoint Bev Steckert and Jim Harrington to the advisory committee on aging.
I'll support that.
We have a motion and a second to support Bev and Jim. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign?
Nay.
Motion carries. In communication, we have an email from Carla Buckmaster. Now it's time for committee reports. Who would like to start?
I could go. I have a brief report.
Okay.
The Historical Commission met on the 8th of February, and we heard a presentation from Carrie Finlayson from North Central Michigan College on an archaeological dig that's happening up near Goodhart. And we also heard a presentation from someone who does metal detecting for sort of fur trade era artifacts and whatnot. It was a very interesting presentation. And we'll have set our agenda for the year, so we've got a meeting every 2 months for 2023. And that's the only committee I had that met recently. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Would you like to be next?
Sure. Airport met, and we reappointed Wayne just a few minutes ago. We elected a chair, which is Mr. Fairburn. Myself was elected as vice chair. Mr. Batchelor gave reports on our fuel and passengers and operations, and Mr. Boyer in his report. The big discussion was the flight schedule. We had a hangar lease, which we approved, and a contract with Mead and Hunt, which I assume will be coming at the next meeting. They are basically the planner of the airport. That's off of the airport. Since I did not attend the last road commission, I'll leave that to Mr. Mapes. I have been appointed by the Michigan Association of Counties, reappointed to the Finance and General Governance Committee. We had our first meeting on February 3rd. We met new members, Dina Bosworth, who is Director of Government Affairs, gave us a report, but the legislature had just gotten into session, so her report was very short, and we'll be presenting to us a review of the legislative priorities at our next meeting, which will be in March. Fair Board met, and I'll steal Brian's thunder on the Fair Board. We have a new software program going in called Fair Entry, and we got an update on how that is working. Pam and cohorts gave an update on the convention. All came back safely. We have a music, country music group chosen. Pam, who is it again?
Dylan Scott.
And we also got an update on the monster trucks. We'll be back and then we'll be out. We have upgrades needed for concerts for the rear tent, the tea barn. Gentleman has donated his time to draw plans, and we'll be working to get prices now. I think that's where we are.
Electrical upgrades.
And we're working on an RFP for the sign, the electric sign, and discussion about the carnival. Our carnival has been, and I look at Pam because she's been on the board longer. Carnival's been with us how long?
Over 30 years.
And they are wanted by other counties, but we're not going to give them up. So that was the Fair Board. Area on Aging met. We seated our new board members, went through our financials, and adopted a new Articles of Incorporation as required by the state. Today I met, we had an all-day meeting at the Perry Hotel for the North Country Community Mental Health Board. Had in-depth presentations by each of the departments that we have. We had a discussion of the chief executive report. And one thing that I pointed out, I'm now the finance chair for North Country, but we have our money come from a regional entity called the regional entity. And one thing that is collected through the regional entity is what's called PA2 money. And PA2 money is basically liquor tax money that is set aside for the counties to use on substance abuse programs and treatment. And I'm sad to say, because we should be spending this money, Emmett has $733,906 in that fund that can be spent on substance abuse treatment and programs. Our next closest is Charlevoix at $363,767. We've been working with the administrator who's working with programs to spend some of this money, because if we have money to treat substance abuse, it should be going out and being spent and not sitting in a bank account. Mr. Chairman, that is my report.
Thank you. All right, I'll just add a little bit to the fairgrounds. So one of the items that's going to change this year is the 4-H horse show is not going to be part of the fair because of a conflict with judges. It's going to be held July 28th through the 30th, which is 3 weeks prior to the fair, which might free up some other things that can go on at the fair. But it's a lively session. I really like the meeting. Agnes, they're pretty lively on it. Parks and Rec, at the Headlands, we did hear that there's going to be a free astronomy program for this summer. And obviously the photo was fantastic. It was the only clear night in the entire month of January. It was January 14th when they were able to take the photo at like at 2 in the morning. Camp Pedasiga, something about the cabins that David mentioned. 5 years ago when they bought cabins, they were $10,000 a piece. They're 10 by 24 cabins. Now they're a minimum of 30 grand, so they're triple the amount just in a few years. And this weekend, Saturday, is a free kids ice fishing.
No, it was canceled.
But it's canceled, I imagine, because there was somebody that went through the ice here a week ago. Crooked River Locks, the Army Corps is having a problem with electronic gauges, measuring the water level, but the physical gauge still remains the official gauge on that. And one other item on the airport, the regular flights are going to go from 4 flights down to 3, but their increased size in planes will equal the same amount of passengers that the 4 flights were handling. So that's my report, Mr. Chair. Sure. Thank you.
On this side, you want to start?
Sure.
My name's kind of lengthy. I'll start off with the Straits Regional Transportation that met on the 25th of January. We opened up by electing their chair and vice chair. As far as funding goes, I was pretty impressed about, you know, how low budget the transportation committee is, or the transportation authority is there in Sheboygan. But the state has been, through ARPA, has been pretty much funding the whole thing, and there hasn't been any money required from any of the counties to support its operation as of yet, but that's probably going to end in the next couple of months. They're expecting their funding to drop from the state by as much as 50% in the state funding. Their routes are currently running 2 days, five days a week, Monday through Friday. 2 days a week they start out the route Sheboygan, run over to Mackinac City and come down 31 into Petoskey. And the other 3 days a week they start in Indian River, come down in 68 route down into Petoskey. There's only one bus running at this time. They say that Emmett County, over the last 3 months, accounts for approximately 25% of their total rides in the three-county area. And all the bulk of those rides, of the 25%, are generated in Petoskey and Bear Creek area. And so that would be at that for the Straits Regional Transportation. Next would be DPW. They reported there's two open positions there, but those have been, one's been filled, and I know the driver's been filled, and I believe they're doing interviews for the recycle person. The processor. They applied for the grant, which we talked about tonight, the truck. They lost the deal on the truck, but we approved the site, the drop site bins tonight. Bay Bluffs, we had a tour of Bay Bluffs as part of a group made up of the board members, Bay Bluff Board, and County Administration, review the status of the updates and remodeling. That took place on the 9th. On the 23rd, the regular meeting for Bay Bluffs will be. It starts at 7:30 and it's going to be a five-hour marathon for the purpose of planning and strategizing on recruiting staff. The Road Commission, the reason why you weren't there is because there hasn't been one until tomorrow. They only had one meeting in February.
Oh, did we do the January report? We didn't do the
January report. Yeah, I did that last time.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's probably why our roads aren't plowed.
Could be. So, and the Health Department, we attended our first meeting of the year, February 7th. We elected the chair and vice chair for the board, reviewed and approved the minutes for December 6th, and then we had our organizational meeting, which lasted probably about 2 hours. Actually, it was Dan Thorell, the director of the Health Department, gave a history and a vision of the Health Department. And then, so the first committee meeting will be on the 23rd, and that would be the program and evaluation day. Yes, thank you. And that's all I have.
Mr. Aaron.
Okay. February 9th, Planning Commission met. We discussed a couple of PUDs and had public comment on them, too, as well. Quite extensive public comment. And what else did I have? I was really impressed with some of the public comment on these PUDs in that they had some really good questions. I thought there were professional people coming up and raising these questions because they were so good. They're really attentive, or there's experience with PUDs and public meetings, because they're talking about water flow of parking lots, where that water might go and how is it going to be treated, about green space, a sewer plant hookup, the effects upon neighboring wells, maybe, the density and number of units. We have talked about our zoning standards. We have adjusted those over the years, but it probably won't be enough for some projects going forward with higher densities than we allow right now. That's something maybe we have to look at. We don't have tons of land that already has utilities in it. There's not just big pieces around to build sprawling places for people to live with lots of room between all their houses. Well, let's see what else. Okay. Okay. Land Bank met January 26. We did continued review of projects in progress, and in congruence with what Carla's letter is about, I was looking myself, which I do before these meetings, at the minutes of the various committees I'm in, the draft minutes at least, and that helps refresh my mind. And maybe I forgot to write down one thing I wanted to talk about, and it's in the minutes. You know, so that's a habit I have, too, of going to that. And there aren't on there right now. So whoever's in charge of draft minutes for everything, let's get them on the website if we can, as fast as possible. January 26th, I attended an NLEA online report, and we did some breakout sessions on an assessment of economic diversification needs within our area, within Northwest Michigan, and in the NLEA coverage area. We talked about strengths and weaknesses and possible ways to move forward on those. Monday, February 6th, Northern Michigan County Association, I attended online. Dina Bosworth gave a 2023 legislative priorities and a MAC update. Did also say that they've had more applications for committees than they've ever had before, and they're pretty good with committees now. These are our policy committees. I sit on two of them. Commissioner White sits on one. These give Emmett County a seat at the table of knowing what's happening statewide and stuff that may be coming down the pike at us. It's definitely a positive for any commissioner to be on one of these committees. And I encourage, even though they say they're full apply, and they're reapplied for each year, so if you don't get on one this year, get on one next year. It's good to be at the table, to have a seat in the room. Okay. We're paying for this association. We might as well fully utilize as much as we can. Okay, that's what I have, Chair. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Lockbaum.
I am also on the Emmett County Airport Committee, and we met at the Pelson Airport here last time and elected Tom Fairburn, Jr. as chairman. He's the owner of Fairburn's Hardware in the Lansing. And the airport is doing well financially due to fuel sales. And probably most people in this room are too young to remember, but we were once visited by a president of the United States at the Emmett County Airport. President Kennedy landed there as a refueling stop on his flight from Washington, D.C., Andrews Air Force Base, on his trip to Alaska. He stopped there for about 3 hours and fueled his plane up. And on the planning committee, I serve on that with Neil here. And the big thing we did at the last meeting was to approve a campground for the Brutus area called Maple River Resort. That's going to be a huge asset to Emmett County and the state of Michigan. The state right now has a shortage of campgrounds, and I think Emmett County has a shortage of business also. This is going to be a big plus. Thank you.
Thank you. So yesterday I went to a CCE 911 meeting, and also last Wednesday we also had a CCE 911 meeting, but that one was an emergency meeting to settle the contract, and we did settle, but we can't talk about it. And so then yesterday's meeting, it was brought up about the annual maintenance fees between the ones that were signed up with MPSCS versus Motorola. And if we stay with MPSCS, we pay a budgeted $4,000 per tower. If we go with Motorola, it's $74,000. So we're doing a good job keeping track of what we're doing there. And we talked about a number of other things. Brian was there with me on that. Is there anything else you'd like to say about that?
Well, we did approve the RFP for the new computer-aided dispatch. And then we had a presentation from the administrator from Mackinac 911, and he would like CCE Antrim County and Roscommon County to join the 9 UP counties that are in their area to apply for a ARPA grant to help fund upgrades to the same system that we're already out for bids. Kind of join, you know, with the 14 counties together, it'd be a better chance that we can gain funding to help pay for the system. Right now, it's just out for proposal, and the timing should be just about perfect if we can get the grant application out, maybe help us fund. But we asked the three administrators from the county to make sure that the funding, if we start spending money now, is it going to count towards a match? Is it going to maybe get reimbursed through the grant? We don't know. That's why we asked the administrators to kind of check that out.
Is that ARPA money? I thought that was just regular grants.
Infrastructure money. So there is funding out there. The good thing and bad thing, it's going to take us time. The RFP is just going on the street, so it will be months before we sit down. So that timing is going to be good with what they're applying for. So hopefully it can all work out if they do receive funding, because it is half a million people now this 911 would reach. So I think that's what they're trying to do. So we will certainly look into that to make sure that we can recover some of that funding if they're awarded.
So that's the 911. I also attended the Board of Health with Don, and he did this report with that. After the 911, we went to a child advisory center here in Emmett County. Matt was there already, and they are doing a nice job with that. Would you like to say anything more about that?
No.
I was pretty impressed with that building.
Nice.
What they're doing with that building over there. So we're reaching out in Emmett County. Let's see. Yesterday I attended a Emmett County Sanitary Board of Appeals meeting, and we discussed the code and tried to make it simpler. And there was quite a lot of discussion on how to make it simpler and just what to do and how to determine or, define the code and for appeals and variances. And it was just very interesting. It was a 2.5-hour meeting. We have a site visit coming up, but we don't have the schedule for that yet. But it's interesting what's going on in the code for the Board of Appeals. The question was, how do we measure the water at 1 foot below grade for a 2-week period, either in the spring or in the fall, and how do we monitor that water so that we can either approve that site or not approve it. And so there was quite a lot of discussion on that. And do we use a rain gauge on the site, or do we use local, weather advisor or weather stations? And anyway, like I say, it's a lot of discussion on that. And I went with Don to the Bay Bluffs tour, Don and Dave, and we're getting ready to open up some of the stuff over there. So it looking pretty good, isn't it?
Got to get some staff first.
Yeah, the biggest challenge of Bay Bluffs right now is trying to find staff to open. And we have two open wings right now that need to be filled up, and they could be filled up. Unfortunately, we don't have the staff to fill them up. That's, I think, your 4-hour meeting that you have coming up. This is ways to try to address the problem that they have there. But the facility is ready and open, and once we get the staff, we're ready to go.
Yeah, one of the board members, Craig Lively, wants to do some advertising, some radio advertising, and try to recruit, draw some folks that might not be happy where they're currently employed into Bay Bluffs to help us so we can start filling those beds.
So it's looking good over there anyway, ready to move people in if we can get the staff. So
ready.
I also attended a TAC meeting, which is a technical advisory committee meeting. It's for the 911 for EMS and the fire departments and police departments and everything, tying them all together with the communication and coordinating it all. And we discussed the business at hand, and it was a good meeting. Let's see, what else did I do here? I think that's it, so move on. It's time now for public comment.
This group may have an interest in a presentation that I made this week in Petoskey to a group of service men, local service group. And the topic was, what is the most existential threat to the United States. And we started with a quiz or a survey I passed out and asked them to rate the threats that, and I asked the following question. Over the next 100 years, rate the following as the main factor behind an existential threat for mankind. And it's of interest that there were 8 items on this list that I found online somewhere as threats, and I asked them to rate them. And the group did rate the top three as the following. Economic collapse could be an existential threat, I guess, and wouldn't have been my top choice, but that was the top choice, averaging out all the numbers that the group gave me. There were 16 in the group. Food and water shortages was number 2. And number 3, cybersecurity and artificial intelligence. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. All those three things were rated higher than World War III, which I found interesting. And the average age of the group was probably about 70. And so climate change was on the bottom of the list. It was number 8. Had that been a group of millennials, I think it would have been number 1. So it depends on what group you're asking, different answers. But I then asked them to list things that were not on the list, and they had a chance to put them down. They said tyrannical governments, family breakdown, communist world domination, World Health Organization. And I listed, which was not on any list I could find nationally, was transhumanism. Transhumanism was not on the list, but had it been, I would have rated it number 1. The merger of artificial intelligence and new technology, especially the newest technology that's just released a month ago, is ChatGPT. So many of you probably know about ChatGPT, but if you don't, you'll be hearing a lot about it. It will probably affect some of the decisions this group makes in the future. It's just been out for about a month, and there's already 200 million users. And could it be good for the community and our humanity? Maybe, but I'm very, very worried about it.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Go ahead. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Valerie Snyder. I'm the probate court judge here in Emmett County. I just came tonight to introduce myself to the new board members. In addition to serving as the probate court judge here, I also sit in Charlevoix County, and I preside over a juvenile court docket as well. So you will probably be receiving a periodic invitation from me to attend one of our juvenile drug treatment court graduation ceremonies, and if you have the opportunity, I hope that you will take advantage of it and come on up. I know Commissioner White's been to a couple of those now. And if you're ever wondering what we're doing upstairs on the second floor, probate court's the only thing up there, so feel free to stop up. We'd be happy to show you around. And we also have Lakeview Academy is under my umbrella, which is our court school program, which is right across the street, and we'd be happy to offer a tour if any of the commissioners are interested in that, either as part of a public meeting or individually if you prefer. And if you need help spending that money, Commissioner White, I'm sure the courts can help address substance abuse
That'd
issues.
Be great,
so,
Your Honor, I
will offer my services.
Bring some programs forward, I'd be happy to take them.
Yeah.
Because I think it's ridiculous to have that dollar amount be sitting there.
I haven't heard of this fund before, but Judge Deegan may have some ideas as well. So, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Carla, come on up.
Carla Buckmaster, I want to thank you for having the Veterans Fair talk tonight. I've attended several of their meetings in the past, pre-COVID, And I try to read their minutes when they're online. Notice they've been able to just get them online since I wrote my letter. And also, just to say, I respect those people who decide they don't want to serve in the military for our country, but the fact that we so acknowledge those who do serve is really appreciated. My husband was in the Air Force for 4 years and served in Pakistan during that time for 15 months. So we have an idea of what that's all about, and the services that are offered here by the Veterans Department are fantastic. From reading the minutes, I learned that at one time the Veterans Affairs Department here had 10 homeless veterans that they were caring for. And not just the homeless veterans, but those who need transportation. And I think it would be wonderful if they could get a van with the ability to have a lift. They don't need something, I don't think, the size of a Straits bus, but to have a van that would be suitable for them. And I'm wondering if there are any ARPA funds that could be made available to use for that, maybe through transportation or something like that. And going from that, I'm going to jump, and I've asked Pam before, I don't know what would happen, is to put on the front page of the website just a list. We started out with, what, $6.4 million? Is that what we have as a county? And to have that number at the top, and to have what money has been committed coming down next, what money's been spent, what do we have left, or is it all gone? But whatever it is, have it listed out so you can see it. I'm not saying that you haven't been transparent because it's come up here in the meetings, but to try to locate those numbers is kind of difficult. And that would really be appreciated on the website. And as you all know, I just want to say regarding my letter about communications, I did, because you new commissioners didn't even have any contact information out there, I had no way of contacting you, and I asked the administrator to forward on the information that I had written in my communication letter. I wrote that letter last Thursday. I think it was Monday when I asked one of the new ones if you'd received it yet. Sorry, no, you hadn't. I asked specifically for that email to be forwarded to you and for me to be let known that your contact information had been put on the website. Thank and you. I so far, I have not heard a word from our administrator.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, our next Board of Commissioners meeting will be held on March 6th, 2023 at 6 p.m. at the County Commissioner Room, 200 Division Street, Petoskey. Looking for a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
You're adjourned.